education and dedication. With collaboration, it's about inspiration.
Welcome to Teacher Talk. On this show, we discuss education policies, challenges in the classroom, and we invite special guests to look back over their school age years and to give their input on education policies today. Callers are provided anonymity, and by that I mean you do not have to identify yourself, others, or your location. Let's get started. This is Teacher Talk.
What do you define as corporal punishment?
In very private conversations, other teachers, it has come up where at times teachers are afraid of students. We feel that at times there are no consequences for student behavior. And when I say corporal punishment, I mean the old paddle. You go into the principal's office and you got whacked on your backside.
We live in a different kind of society. You cannot enact corporal punishment on the young people of today because they react differently than when we did. We got the corporal punishment at home before we got there, using the same analogy of discipline. We got that kind of discipline at home. So a teacher, all she or he had to say is that, I'm going to call your parents at home, and you straighten up.
On the phone is Dr. Gerald Durley. From civil rights to global warming, this pastor continues to give his energy to real change. His views on today's topic, corporal punishment and student discipline, are insightful.
You don't have that kind of fear or the consequences of what will happen if I were disruptly disrupting the classroom. Corporal punishment would not be an appropriate method to stop the kind of challenges that teachers are facing. If they try to implement it, it would be a horrible situation. There has to be a coming together of how do we recreate that kind of discipline working, and most school systems are looking at it, between the teacher authorities in terms of the principal and also with the parents. The parents have a responsibility of incorporating the discipline necessary. Teachers cannot teach it. They have to be disciplinarians. And if a disciplinary one would be the one that would meet some kind of justice or some kind of punishment. If you don't do this, I'm going to do this. In my case, we would stand in the corner. Go stand in the corner. Can you imagine a teacher today telling a young person to go stand in the cloakroom, as they called it, or stand in the corner? It wouldn't do it. They'd say, for what? And then the parents would get on the teacher. Then the system would come to get down on the teacher. So it's not designed to give the teacher the kind of flexibility to implement any kind of corporal punishment.
Dr. Durley, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. Come back. Let me go to Alabama. This caller is an administrator of a school.
Thank you for the invite.
And I appreciate you being willing to participate and voice your opinion, your input as an administrator. How do you view corporal punishment and how we are addressing problematic student behavior?
Well, corporal punishment in my district, in most districts that I've been part of, is not legal. So, you know, right now I do not support corporal punishment. It may be a little bit too harsh to use corporal punishment in most cases. Now, I do believe in progressive discipline. I do believe in following the code of conduct, contacting the parents, building relationships with our boys and girls. You know, I believe in focusing more on social-emotional learning aspect of discipline. Mm-hmm. I believe that, you know, we as administrators and teachers, we have to, number one, understand who our students are. We have to build a relationship with them, and we have to find some type of way to connect with them so they can better understand us. The old way does not work. You know, I grew up in a time where, you know, teachers and the administrator actually was able to paddle us. And many people think that way worked, and they think that strong arm discipline was the way to go. It really was not a deterrence back then, because mm-hmm. I still did some of the exact same things.
Well, I want to make clear that problematic student behavior is not a predominant problem in every school, but it is a big problem in many schools. I've had conversations with teachers all across the country, and some of them, you know, are really dealing with issues that are over their head.
Right.
So
I agree with that.
What are some of the resolutions for some of these? And I'm, you know, I will be honest.
a lot of the schools, the students look like me. They look like they could be my kids. They look like, you know, so, and we're having a hard time in our communities with our students.
Yeah, to be honest, it's a very, very difficult problem when you look at the problematic aspect of it. The only thing that I've seen that actually works is when you work at a school district who is going to really pull in different resources and try to be proactive to support the teachers with classroom management and to support the students. And
okay, now tell us what some of these resources are. For teachers that are listening, tell us what some of these resources are.
Yeah, when you look at different school districts, some school districts actually have different programs where they focus on social emotional learning. Some districts focus on classroom management programs. I know my particular district, all new teachers, they have to go through a classroom management program. Mm-hmm. It's 3 days of classes and basically teach them different strategies, different ideas of how to better service their boys and girls when it's dealing with classroom management.
Particularly for your school.
That's one area that we're dropping the ball on, is to find strategies for that particular school.
Because we know that not every program works in every school.
Exactly. It starts, to me, with the principal. The principal has to come in and recognize that there's a concern, there's an issue. He or she has to know the clientele that they're servicing and has to be mindful of the teachers that he or she is hiring. And then he has to basically create a program for his teachers so they can better service the students. And that principal also has to help create a culture of positive behavior supports for the entire school.
And what about parents?
Yeah, parents play a major role in classroom management. Unfortunately, some parents may not help us out much, but then some may help us out a lot. You know, I've noticed that parents who are very involved, their children are easy to manage at school because they're teaching their boys and girls values, principles, how to respect authority. But some parents may not be teaching those things because they may have had bad experiences in school, and their culture just may be different. They may not support authority and things like that, so they're not going to be able to help us much.
I hope everyone is listening to you. And administrator, I appreciate your input. Before I let you go, please tell us about the wonderful back-to-school initiative in place for several years now. Tell us about that. Share that.
Yeah, one of the things that we do to actually bring parents in, bring the community in more, is create different programs like Men in Suits and Ladies in Heels. And this is an opportunity that we're doing for several years now. So we invite the community, whether you are a doctor, a lawyer, a parent, an uncle, or grandparent, we invite you to dress up in suits, men in suits, ladies in heels, and we all just come looking good. And we basically come in and we support our boys and girls on the first day of school. And so we're lined up, 50 or more people lined up, dressed up, and we're cheering our boys and girls on the first day of school, just trying to be role models for our boys and girls. And it really don't stop there. We actually create this bond, and we invite them in throughout the year as well through our program, which is called Champion Reads. So we invite them to come in on the first day, and then we create this partnership of community to continue with our reading literacy.
School principal in Alabama, thank you so much for sharing today. And for more information on that first day of school celebration, Men in Suits, Women in Heels, follow Champion Summit online. We'll be back with more talk after the break.
Teacher Talk is sponsored by Weather Wonder Incorporated, an early learning science advocate. For more information, log on to lisamoser.com. And if you would like to participate in an upcoming show, click on to the Teacher Talk blog for details.
Hello, this is Ricky Long, and you're listening to Teacher Talk.
I have Donna on the line, a retired teacher. Hello, Donna.
Hi.
Donna, our topic today is student behavior that's problematic, and how in the past, when corporal punishment was being implemented, some say that it wasn't so much a problem. What do you say about that?
As a teacher, I don't think I would feel comfortable making that decision. Even back when it was 1972, I could not make a decision about corporal punishment. That's just not something I would have felt comfortable with.
You taught a lot of years. How long?
Been in a lot of classrooms in a lot of schools.
Over a number of years. Tell us, did you notice a change in student behavior?
I do think things have changed dramatically in recent years because I had to teach and I let students in that marking class do things I never would have let them do in the 70s. Because things had changed dramatically. Does that make sense?
Yes, but I'm going to ask you to elaborate. Give us an example.
I'm not sure I can give you a specific example, but I just know that in general, I sometimes allowed some things or overlooked some things and picked my battles. The students came from a whole different background than I did, and it was interesting to me because I was teaching psychology and economics, and they would share things with me in the psychology class, but they had a whole different background than me. And I just feel like that I had to learn to possibly pick my battles and overlook certain things to get through to them. But then maybe I was too lax.
Did you ever not feel safe in a classroom?
No, but they did send me in one really bad class when I was subbing, and I was only there for 15 minutes to cover for the teacher, and I think she might have had to go out and take a tranquilizer. That group was so bad. I have never seen a class like that at that school before or since, but I really can't think of any time I felt unsafe, because even though I was teaching in some pretty economically disadvantaged areas at different times, I never felt unsafe.
That's good to hear.
This parent came in, and I saw how she talked to her child. I thought, now I know why he misbehaves at school, because he can't get away with anything with his parents. The way they talk to him, I would never have talked to my son that way. You have to make your children feel good about themselves, and it seems like you can get some things done with them without belittling him and being so controlling. I'd be interested to know how that man turned out. He'd probably be in his 40s now, and how did he turn out with that kind of parenting? Did he ever get married successfully, raise his children? You know, children need to see certain things in their home to learn how to behave certain ways.
That might be some of the difficulties that we're seeing in the classroom, that we need some parenting skills and some parenting classes out there. I don't know what the resolution is, but for sure we've seen a change in the problematic behavior of students. It's more prevalent. In talking with, you know, teachers about this topic, some seem to think that, oh, well, if we had, you know, that spanking and the principal was able to bring out that paddle, then we could get some things done. Not everybody agrees with that. Our topic today, corporal punishment. Many studies have shown that physical punishment of this sort, spanking, hitting, some means of causing pain, can lead to increased aggression, can lead to physical injury and mental health problems for children. And according to the American Psychology Association, acceptance of physical punishment has declined since the 1960s. Yet surveys also show that two-thirds of Americans still approve of parents spanking their children. Sweden has done some things in the school model that are considered the gold standard now. In 1979, Sweden became the first country to ban, by law, the physical punishment of children. Many have urged the United States to follow suit, although it is illegal in many states for teachers and other school staff to spank children. There are no laws prohibiting parents from spanking their children. That's going to do it for this edition of Teacher Talk. Thank you, Reverend Gerald Durley. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, callers and comments are welcome. And also the vocalists, none other than Ricky Long, my nephew. Thank you for the music. And also a shout out to Super Dragon Graphics and the wonderful artwork. You make us look good. Until next time, this is Teacher Talk.
Public school with private tools. It's so political as well as analytical.